The Apollo 11 spacecraft is orbiting the Earth as the three astronauts aboard prepare to head for the moon in a quarter of an hour. The spacecraft carrying Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, and Michael Collins was launched on schedule about 2.5 hours ago. The final preparation and blast-off were described as flawless.
Well, to say it's been a copybook for a flight is somewhat of a trite saying, but it is in fact going exactly according to the schedule, right down to the second in fact, and in just under 5 minutes from now, we'll now have the start of the most critical maneuver of this flight, the start of the translunar injection, and make that burn to go to the moon.
And for those listeners to Radio Australia who have just joined us, we have three space experts with us in the studio, Dr. Brian O'Brien, space scientist, Dr. John Lane, an aerospace medical expert, and Mr. Bob Leslie, a communications and space technology expert. And gentlemen, if we have a quick run around the table about the success of the mission as you've seen it so far, Dr. O'Brien.
Perfect so far. I don't see any flaws whatsoever.
And about the astronauts themselves, Dr. Lane.
Well, as far as we know, they've been operating perfectly and in fine shape.
And Mr. Leslie, the actual function of communications in the spacecraft system.
The communications have been wonderful.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. We just got telemetry back down in the booster, and it's looking good.
Even through the area aircraft, which is much more difficult.
Roger up. Roger up.
At the present time, they're going through the preparation of the Saturn IV for a second burn, and they needed that information quite vitally in order to give them the go, to keep on going and to analyse the burn.
Now, this is Saturn IV is the third stage of the rocket. It has already, this rocket has burnt once to lift them into Earth orbit, and the next thing is it burns again in what, about 3 minutes' time from now, injects them towards the moon. What happens to that rocket after this burn?
Well, after they pull the lunar module out of it, they dump the rest of the fuel, and it's called a slingshot maneuver, which slings it so that it won't hit into the moon, and it'll sling past the moon and go into solar orbit.
I see, so it's just discarded, the astronauts disengage from this rocket once it's spent, and let it go its own way around space. Another bit of space debris, in fact. How many bits of junk are there floating around in space? Is there some count on it?
Oh yes, there's a continual recording made, of course, at least by the Americans, presumably by the Russians, with their network across the American continent. And it's up in the 1,200 to 1,300 significant size pieces of junk right now. There's a lot of little bits, you know.
We haven't polluted space yet.
That depends on your point of view. One particular rocket that they had a satellite on, the second stage blew up.
Apollo Control, we're 2 minutes from ignition now.
This produced 59 pieces of debris, just from one rocket blowing up.
And these 59 all remain in orbit?
Oh yes, they'll be there for another few hundred years, unless somebody goes up and scoops them back.
Maybe this will be the ultimate solution to the pollution problem.
Put some politicians into orbit.
Well, it's now just over 1 minute to the translunar injection, the burn for the moon. Armstrong, Collins, and Aldrin.
We're showing present altitude about 108 nautical miles. We expect to be at an altitude of 177 nautical miles at cutoff.
And they're now in the Pacific, I guess actually north of the equator, Mr. Leslie. Would that be right now?
They'll be just coming up the equator.
25,560 feet per second.
The firing is just about on the equator as
we're
it happens.
A minute from ignition.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Slightly less than 1 minute to ignition, and everything is go.
Roger.
Peter, can I mention they said the velocity 25,560 feet per second? That's just 6 feet per second more than what they were scheduled to have.
Oh, yes.
6 out of 25,000 is not too bad.
I see. Well, this is their calculated velocity.
That's
on
right.
The basis of what
that's
fuel they
numbers written down beforehand and stuff.
Yeah. Do they burn the fuel of this rocket right out?
This particular one?
Yeah.
No, I think there's excess left, isn't there?
they've got enough to get them into the translunar injection orbit, but there is a bit spare.
And this is a liquid hydrogen, liquid oxygen rocket.
Yes, that's right.
Which is the most powerful sort of thrust one can possibly obtain with a rocket.
From chemical propulsion.
Yes. Well, let's stay with it now. We're waiting for the translunar injection. Any moment now, we should... There it is, ignition. It's started. Goes for about 5 minutes of long flow.
We confirm ignition and the thrust is go.
So they're on the way. Of course, we won't know whether they got into the right trajectory for the moon for quite a while yet. And during the next few minutes, we'll expect probably a stream of data coming back to Earth, I guess.
Yes, the ship Mercury.
Looking good.
Which was in Sydney Harbour as the tracking ship at the
time. Velocity 26,000 feet per second.
Now, what's that, Dr. O'Brien? You're nodding.
Well, it's another 446 feet per second they've added already. And they're gradually climbing up towards their 35,000 feet per second that they need.
They really go off a tangent off from the Earth. That's rather resistant.
Apollo 11, this is Houston at 1 minute. Trajectory and guidance look good, and the stage is good. Over. Apollo 11,
we're often only getting about three or four words back from the astronauts.
Coming up on 27,000 feet per second.
Still on schedule, Dr. O'Brien.
That's the way they go. If they stop at 35,575 feet per second, they're in business.
What happens if they fall short of this?
Oh, they can adjust in on the way to the moon. They've got a lot of adjustments that they can make.
But is there a certain speed at which they have to get beyond to get away from the Earth's gravity, or are they now definitely on the way?
Telemetry and radar tracking both solid.
Way that they hit about 34,000, 35,000.
Jules Verne, back in his Columbia 100 years or so ago, calculated 12,000 yards a second, which is 36,000.
Right.
Only a matter of about a few hundred feet per second less than...
Pretty close, yes.
If it shuts down about 40 or 50 seconds before the end of the...
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Thrust is good. Everything's still looking good.
They have enough in the service propulsion system to make up the velocity.
The service propulsion system is something different from the rocket which is firing now.
Right, that's...
We're 2.5 minutes into this burn. We still have another 3 minutes to go.
Yes, that's the rocket with the command and service module. Mm-hmm.
Well, 9 minutes is good news, it seems, from the astronauts. It's only the third time, of course, that any rocket has been sent like this.
29,000 feet per second, building up toward 30,000 feet per second.
They're about halfway there now. Very unlikely indeed that anything would go wrong at this stage, isn't it?
Present altitude 115 nautical miles.
But they're not climbing up very far.
Right, that's only an extra 8 mile altitude or so.
So they really go off at this tangent, which we were touching about before. It's very grazing the Earth's atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Eventually that's leaving the Earth behind, effectively.
That's right. But they don't have to come back in. They have to glance in between about 5 degrees.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. 3.5 minutes. You're still looking good. Your predicted cutoff is right on the nominal.
Roger, Apollo 11,
go.
Roger, Apollo
31,
11, go. It's about all they say.
Altitude 125 nautical miles.
Altitude seems to be increasing a bit faster now. That last increase of altitude of 8 miles is only in about a minute, whereas the previous increase of 8 miles took about 3 minutes to get.
So velocity 32,000 feet per second, altitude 130 miles.
Well, Could this burn actually be seen from Earth from anybody who is on the ground?
Visually, you mean?
Visually, yes.
Oh, I doubt it. Not all that much oomph in this.
1 minute left to burn. Velocity is 33,000 feet per second. Altitude 142.5 nautical miles.
It's picking both velocity and altitude rapidly.
That's right. They want to get to 35,575 feet a second.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. You are a go at 5 minutes.
Roger, we're go.
So 5 minutes of burn so far.
34,000 feet per second now. Altitude 152.
Well on the way to the moon. How long was the burn meant to be altogether now?
6 minutes, and there's exactly
13 seconds
left of it, according to the present schedule.
They only need another 575 feet a second. They're right on the button.
Cut off.
Cut off, in fact, a bit early.
No, it was five minutes 47, I think.
We're showing velocity 35,570 per second.
Altitude 177
nautical miles.
Out of 35,570 feet per second, they initially aimed for 35,575. 5 feet a second out of 35,000.
Well, they must have translunar injection now. They can't be any doubt about it.
11, this is Houston. We show cutoff, and we copy the numbers and now in 62.
Absolutely perfect. You just couldn't do anything better than that.
The margin of error there is just so
35,000 is fantastic.
Yeah. I think, as they would say, they've got the show on the road.
Houston, you're in.
Just calling up the astronauts to check, hope we can get a few more than 3 words out of them this time. We haven't even had any of the usual comments
Apollo
that astronauts have given.
Houston, do you read, over?
Roger, Houston, Apollo 11. We are reading a VI of 35579, and EMS was plus 3.3, over.
Roger, plus 3.3 on the EMS, and we copy the VI.
Bob, Leslie, what is the information that we may know?
The EMS is the entry monitor system, and I think I'll have to come back to you on that. I'll have a little think about it if I may.
There's so many of these abbreviations which have been developed for the space. We get a very abbreviated list of some of the space jargon, they're now becoming a sort of current usage almost. AG is a abort guidance system, was one that tricked Michael Daly and myself last time. Abort guidance system turned out to be a sort of secondary guidance system that was pretty crucial in the Apollo 10 mission when the lunar module was not functioning properly at the early stages of going down towards the moon.
There are some quite cute ones too, like DEDA for data entry and display assembly, and DISCI. It's not Martin Royal out there, it's the descent, the display and keyboard system. And then there's FIFTH, which is rather intriguing, which is fire in the hole for the lunar ascent stage abort staging system. And not forgetting PLIS, portable life support system, and PUGS, propellant utilization engaging system. And SHE, a little bit of femininity, stable. This is supercritical helium. I'm not quite sure where this works into the system.
Did the astronauts, Brian, you've met a lot of them, do they actually use these terms in everyday language?
Oh, heavens yes.
Roger, 11, we'll pass that on, and it certainly looks like you're well on your way now.
Well, I'm afraid we talked over what might have been one of the last few words. And such long silences from these astronauts, and then they come in with a few crucial words.
We have no complaints with any of the three stages. That's right, it was beautiful.
Roger, we copy. No transient of staging of any significance, over. F-rated with all the good rates. Houston,
roger. Seems to me like the understatement of the year.
That
just means no bumps on the road. No transients at all.
No potholes.
No. Now, getting back to your question, they do use the abbreviations all the time, more or less forced to, in order to communicate this thing. Had to buy a secretary a $17 book of abbreviations.
This is Houston. For your information, we expect the maneuver to separation attitude to begin at 3+05+03 and to be completed at 09+20. Separation at 3+15+00.
Well, we've now passed into a totally new phase of this mission to the moon. Everything up to now has been repeated previously on previous missions, and the next stage has also been repeated. But now that we've got out of the pull of the Earth's gravity, the stage is set for the maneuvers, the rendezvous, the dockings, and everything else, the really complicated bits of space flying. So far we've had stage 1, stage 2 and stage 3. The rockets actually fire perfectly on time and put them into orbit and send them off to the moon. This is rocketry. It works brilliantly well. But now space manoeuvring and space flying comes in. What is this next stage which we're expecting, Michael? Michael Daly?
Well, the next stage is when the command module literally turns around, and docks with the lunar module, and then they begin what they call the ejection of the lunar module from the third stage, or what they call the Saturn IV stage. And when they get that out, they're on their way.
So they have actually to separate two parts of the rocket, move around, dock, and this is actually a bit of space flying. Now, how difficult is this sort of thing for a pilot to learn, Dr. Lane? It's rather different to flying on Earth. Once he gets out there, he has a totally different scheme of frames of reference and so on.
Well, the process of docking, of course, was a totally new technique, and without the usual cues and things that pilots use, this took quite a bit of thinking out and took quite a bit of practicing, but now they seem to have managed it very well.
So, for the first time, we shall shortly hear of the command module actually being separated and going by itself out into space, but it won't be going very far, I gather. It just maneuvers around, noses in on the lunar module, which is tucked away in the third stage of the rocket. But this is a crucial phase. Once they have done this, as Michael says, they pull the lunar module out, and then it is the command module and the lunar module, which have the names of Columbia and Eagle, respectively, which fly to the moon. While what happens to the poor old rocket? It's finished. Is it, Bob?
Right, the rest of the fuel will be dumped in order to make sure that the rocket doesn't hit the moon. It'll just sling by the moon. They call it the slingshot maneuver, and it'll go into orbit around the sun.
Good, well, we are staying open on ABC Radio to get this last vital phase of the night's activities, or the night as far as it is by Australian Eastern Time, and we will be bringing you a description of this, and this will be the last thing before the astronauts coast to the moon to arrive there on Sunday morning, Australian Eastern Time. So in the meantime, back to Martin Doyle.